You are listening to a University of North Carolina Kidney Center podcast. I'm Dr. Ronald Falk, the director of the UNC Kidney Center. Our goal is to help you better understand kidney disease. Today, we will be talking about treatments for membranous nephropathy. Allow me to welcome our patient, Diane, who will be part of this discussion.
Thank you. I have a number of questions for you, Dr. Falk.
So let's begin.
My doctor told me that I have nephrotic syndrome. What is that?
The nephrotic syndrome are a group of four different clinical signs and symptoms of disease. All of the diseases that hurt what are called glomeruli, the filters of the blood, you have about 1.5 million of these filters. When they're damaged, they can leak protein into the urine. If you leak a lot of protein in the urine, the amount of protein in the blood goes down. So people with the nephrotic syndrome have lots of protein in their urine, and they have a decrease in the amount of protein in the blood, and the most common protein is something called serum albumin. When you leak protein in the urine and the serum albumin falls, you tend to have a lot of fluid or edema in your legs and in other parts of your body, and your cholesterol goes up, and we'll talk more about cholesterol in a moment. Membranous nephropathy is one of those kinds of diseases that hurt glomeruli, hurt those filters, and cause a lot of protein in the urine.
So I have this syndrome with lots of protein in my urine. Now my doctor tells me that my cholesterol values are very high, and she wants me to take a cholesterol-lowering drug. Will I have to be on this type of treatment forever once I start? Can I lower my cholesterol by changing my diet and maybe not have to take the drugs?
If you use your magic wand and your membranous nephropathy goes away, then you will not be leaking protein in your urine. Your serum albumin will go back to normal, and your liver will no longer have to make so much protein, and it will stop making lots of cholesterol as well. So in the nephrotic syndrome, the high cholesterol is not a consequence of what you're eating. It's a consequence of how your body, and in particular your liver, is responding to the loss of protein in the urine and a loss of or a decrease in the amount of protein in your blood. So dietary changes are helpful, but they can only help to a certain extent because the high cholesterol is not coming from your diet. The high cholesterol is coming because your liver has been fooled into making much more cholesterol than it should. So, in fact, you have to take cholesterol-lowering drugs as long as you have the nephrotic syndrome and as long as your serum cholesterol is elevated. But the real key here is to treat the membranous nephropathy, because if you treat the membranous nephropathy, the cholesterol will go down and you won't have to take those drugs anymore.
This nephrotic syndrome makes me puffy. My doctor calls this edema. I hear that steroids can also make me puffy. So how do steroids help me get rid of my edema if they also make me get swollen?
So the fluid of the nephrotic syndrome is very different than the fluid or the sense of puffiness from prednisone. The edema or the fluid from the nephrotic syndrome you can see and feel, and usually in your legs. If you take your thumb and press on your ankle, you'll see that when you get release your thumb, that there'll be a pit or a depression in your skin. Not the sock line that everybody gets, especially if they have brand new socks, that has a complete ring around your ankle. But take your thumb and press gently into an area right above your ankle and see if you have a depression there. That's fluid that's called edema and from losing protein in your urine. There are other causes of edema, but from a kidney perspective, it's usually loss of protein in the urine. That's a very different kind of puffiness than you get with steroids or prednisone or any kind of glucocorticoid, one of your favorite, I say that jokingly, least favorite drugs, which really causes a different kind of swelling, which is unfortunately really a redistribution of fat. Prednisone or any glucocorticoid can help to a certain extent, but not a huge amount in membranous nephropathy, But if the steroids do lower the amount of protein in your urine, then in fact the edema will go away, because if the disease goes away, then the swelling goes away, the cholesterol gets better, and you won't have to take these kinds of medicines.
I've read that the cyclosporine might reduce proteinuria and help protect my kidney function, but I've also read that it may have toxic effects on my kidney. What kind of toxic effects can it cause to my kidneys?
Cyclosporine is a drug that we're using more and more for glomerular diseases. It has been a tremendous benefit in the treatment of membranous nephropathy. It's used to a certain extent with prednisone, but it has become a mainstay of treatment. It decreases the amount of protein loss in the urine. And if one treats the nephrotic syndrome, if one treats the membranous nephropathy, then kidney function will get better and will stay that way. On the other hand, you're absolutely right. Cyclosporine can be toxic to the kidney and actually can cause scarring. But remember, we've used cyclosporine for decades now in patients with kidney transplants. And in that circumstance, we've learned how to use the drug. We use less of it. We give it in divided doses. We watch blood levels of it. And in fact, in membranous nephropathy, we don't have to use as much cyclosporine as we would use for a transplant. So while the toxicity is real, while the danger is real, watching how much of this drug one's using, watching drug levels carefully, one can really reduce the toxicity to your kidneys. Remember, people with kidney transplants have been on these drugs for decades, and we continue to use these kinds of drugs for transplants, kidney transplant patients, because they work so well. We wouldn't use it in membranous nephropathy if it weren't working there as well.
What's the difference between cyclophosphamide, I call it Cytoxan, and chlorambucil?
So there's a completely different treatment protocol that's different than using either just prednisone or prednisone and cyclosporine. It's a protocol that has long been promoted by an Italian physician by the name of Claudio Ponticelli. Claudio Ponticelli has proven in a number of studies that pulses of prednisone, or actually methylprednisolone, with either cyclophosphamide or chlorambucil have a long-term protective benefit in membranous nephropathy. You're right, cyclophosphamide is the generic name. Cytoxan is the trade name. Chlorambucil is the generic name of a drug that we use hardly at all in the United States, but is more commonly used in Europe. They both alter DNA. They're both known or are alkylating agents. But most practitioners in the Americas typically use cyclophosphamide, as we believe that it has fewer side effects than its cousin, chlorambucil.
I've had a blood clot and am being treated with blood thinners. How long will I need to stay on this kind of treatment?
It's interesting. A certain percentage of patients with membranous nephropathy, about 10%, will have blood clots. It may even be a higher percentage of patients. Perhaps up to half of patients with membranous nephropathy will have a clot, including clots in the vein that drains the kidney. So to a certain extent, the answer to your question depends upon where your blood clots are, how significant they are, and whether or not your disease process has been brought into remission. If the membranous nephropathy goes into remission and you no longer have proteinuria, you no longer have a low serum albumin, your serum albumin or that blood protein in the blood becomes normal, then the need for blood thinners is really significantly reduced. Why patients with membranous nephropathy get clots in the first place is not clear, but it appears to be associated with a very low serum albumin, a very low amount of protein in the blood, probably because you are losing clotting control proteins that we aren't measuring well. But if you're losing a lot of protein in the urine, you're probably losing those clotting control proteins as well. If you still have lots of protein in your urine then, and you're not in remission, then in fact you have to stay on blood thinners if you've had a blood clot. If the disease has been brought under control, especially if you're in remission, why, about 3 months after you have been brought into remission, you probably can come off these blood-thinning medicines.
My doctor has said that I am anemic and that this is common with people who have membranous nephropathy, who are spilling a lot of protein in their urine. Will my anemia get better if my proteinuria goes away, or do I need to be treated with something especially for anemia?
Diane, yet again, a fantastic question. I'm not entirely sure why patients with membranous nephropathy become anemic. Certainly, people with kidney dysfunction of any kind become anemic because the protein called erythropoietin, or EPO for short, made by the kidney tells the bone marrow to make blood. So if your kidneys aren't working well, then the amount of erythropoietin will go down and you'll get anemic. And then getting a drug that is a genetic form of erythropoietin, and there are several of those now, are useful for the treatment of anemia. But why patients with membranous nephropathy who have normal kidney function get anemic is not clear. It is not certain at all that you would need a recombinant or genetic erythropoietin. But what is clear is that if your disease goes into remission and the proteinuria goes away, that you won't need to be treated for anemia, as the anemia will get better all by itself.
I've heard that there's a higher risk of cancer in people who have membranous nephropathy. Is that true? And if so, should I avoid some of these drug treatments such as Cytoxan that may also increase my risk of cancer?
In patients who are older than the age of 55, there is an association of cancer and membranous nephropathy. And interestingly, the cancer can come first, or the membranous nephropathy can come first, or they can occur at the same time. So there is a higher risk of cancer in membranous nephropathy, but usually in an older population. And you should have screening tests, if you haven't already had those done, to make sure that you don't have obvious signs of colon, breast, ovary, or prostate cancer. But you are absolutely correct. You have to worry about using an alkylating agent such as cyclophosphamide or Cytoxan, as there is an increased risk of cancer with those drugs. Perhaps a different kind of treatment, including the use of cyclosporin, would be a better option in that case. However, cyclosporin is also associated with malignancy, but at a lesser extent than is cyclophosphamide or Cytoxan.
Thank you so much for answering all my questions. I really feel like I have a lot more information.
Diane, thank you so much for being here with us today.